Well, when I began to think about and plan this event, the Gathered Text, I came across a problem of terminology. I knew that what I wanted as the focus of discussion were those slim groupings of leaves created by folding sheets of paper that are bound together in a sequence to make a book. But what to call them? There seemed to be four possibilities: choirs, signatures, sections, or gatherings. The terms are not quite synonyms, but for present purposes, the technical differences between them are less important than the special connotations of the term gathering. As a verbal noun, gathering implies action. Gatherings are the product of dynamic, creative processes of textual construction. Among the many things that interest me about gatherings is their capacity to represent, to figure human movement, and their ability themselves to move. So I chose gathering as the key term for this symposium, not so much because of its technical accuracy, as because of its capacity to connote movement. Now, this connection of gathering with movement may at first seem a little surprising. As 21st century readers of old books, our usual mode of encountering gatherings is as bound, restrained objects. Indeed, gatherings are not the product of the printing house so much as of the bindery. Before a set of printed sheets leaves the printers, the warehouseman folds it in half and puts it in a standing press. But it's down to the binder to take the individual signatures and fold them to form gatherings. Gatherings remind us then, if we needed reminding, that printers don't make books, but binders do. And if gatherings come into existence destined to be bound, it's perhaps difficult to see in what sense they can connote movement. Well, it helps, I think, to look back to the print shop for a moment, because in that place, a number of different kinds of gathering have to happen before the sheets of a book can be sent to the binder. A compositor gathers pieces of type in a composing stick. The pressman gathers the pages of composed type in forms, and the warehouseman gathers and collates the printed sheets. All of these gathering actions also imply the possibility, or perhaps even the necessity, of dispersal. Forms are unlocked and type replaced in cases. And just as type is dispersed, so gatherings often undergo dispersal of one kind or another. Cancels can split gatherings apart. Inserted gatherings might intrude upon a text's original structure. Gatherings from diverse texts might be brought together in new combinations. And gatherings brought together under pressure, in a standing press, for instance, might leave traces of ink on one another before being separated. The movements that gatherings undergo chart the histories of particular documents. And if we come to understand why gatherings move, we can also learn something about the broader circumstances in which early modern and 18th century and 19th century texts were produced and read. Some of the papers that you'll hear today are technical in focus, concentrating on the manufacture of texts, whether in print or manuscript. There'll also be papers that address the connections between such fabrication and the activities of people who are less directly involved in the work of physical production: authors, booksellers.